Welcome to Vincent Price's Laugh.
Welcome back. We're actually literally fresh out of a movie.
Yes.
What movie?
We saw The Witch.
Last weekend, the cinematic world experienced The Witch, the film the Chicago Tribune calls a 21st century classic.
Let us leave to the port.
Oh God, my Lord, I now begin. Oh, help me, I don't leave my sin. Don't ever show these fruit in my face. Who do one mind but Satan? If you think of what I repent and thou shalt be, from evil I will turn to thee.
The Witch.
La Bruja. The Witch.
Pinche Chiba.
Apparently, I guess. Chiba, if it's a lady. That's a lady goat.
Hey guys.
We're driving in a car. Shelby's driving. I'm passenging. And we just let out, watch a movie with some friends of ours, met up with some other friends of ours, and had a kind of a creepy old time there.
So what did you think of this movie?
Well, it reminded me a lot of Satanic Panic, which is, of course, something that's near and dear to my heart, just because I grew up in a conservative Christian environment that really pushed the angle, and all the pop witness folks like Mike Warnke, who claimed to be this big satanic priest, had participated in all sorts of horrible satanic rituals, and upon turning a leaf, decided he was a stand-up comedian for Christ.
You get up in the morning and say, I need a cheese sandwich. Somebody say, you show me the word cheese sandwich in the Word of God.
A lot of you think that when a Satanist kills, they do so because they want to spill blood. But if a Satanist or any other kind of occultist kills an animal or a human sacrifice, it's not to spill blood. It's to release the life force. You can absorb that force, they say, and it makes you a stronger wizard, warlock, or whatever.
Was there a testimony to this? Was there a prophecy for this? How do you know you're being led of the Holy Ghost to eat that cheese sandwich?
And then later, much later, after he made millions doing this, he was exposed as a fraud because he was never part of anything satanic. Except, you know, if you really want to get down into it, the satanic idea of lying to people for profit. I guess that could be satanic. Yeah, so this movie had a whole heck of a lot of superstition.
So this movie reminded you of your childhood. Is that what you're saying?
Not my personal upbringing, no. No, but the environment that I was exposed to, yes.
So what did you think that you were going to think of this movie?
Before seeing this movie, all I saw was one trailer, and I thought that was cool. Really well-cut trailer. Very creepy. It did not, unlike the trailers, the creepiest thing you'll ever see. What was that called? Goodnight Mommy?
Yeah.
Goodnight Mommy shows you this awesome trailer, and then you watch the movie, and it's not anything that the trailer. The trailer's totally cut in a certain way that depicts a totally different story. This movie delivered on the same story as the trailer said, which was good, and it didn't spoil you with the trailer. At least it didn't spoil me. But I had read an article that some people I know, some other illustrators, one of them posted, and she noted, well, I'm glad I don't know any horror fans that are like that. And the article was about how the mainstream horror fans hate good horror movies, like It Follows, or this movie.
They don't like art in their horror movies.
Right.
They don't like well thought out ideas and characters.
There's no room for that in a Jason Voorhees punishes sinful children.
Well, what
movie
do they like, honestly? Because I mean, it's one or the other. It's either something like, bless his heart, Ouija.
That had some good visuals.
Yeah,
really,
but everybody hated it. Everybody hated it. And bless you, Styles. It's a thing where
it's really super tame, PG-13 rated. What you're saying?
Yeah, and the, like, people hated on it so much, and like, so what do they want? They don't like the movies that are mainstream.
True horror fans, quote unquote. True. I'm not claiming that these are actually true horror fans, but people who call themselves true horror fans are people who are basically pretentious. But about,
like, old movies?
Well, they definitely love John Carpenter's heyday. John Carpenter's The Thing, Well, who does? They live and stuff like that. But they don't understand that horror be damned in that situation. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's not just a good really horror movie.
I don't see a difference in John Carpenter's The Thing and this movie we just watched.
Yeah, as far as quality?
Yeah, I don't see a difference.
No, you're right, because they're both great movies.
Yeah.
The problem you have is people being... It's basically the same thing that nerds versus jocks. It's categorization of people. And so the person says, I'm a fan of horror. That means they define what horror is to themselves. Horror is Sam Raimi movies, early Sam Raimi movies.
Like Crime Wave?
Yes, actually that would go along with it. But then they would go and say, yeah, Crime Wave, yeah, all right, yeah, yeah, because it's got some cool camera work and stuff.
Is that a horror movie?
No, it's a thriller, and it's a film noir sort of thing, but it's shot very kinetically like Evil Dead 2.
Okay, wait.
And it came before Evil Dead 2, so they learned a lot of stuff on Crime Wave.
See, I picture these people as being like, I only watch Henry Portrait of a Killer, or whatever.
I don't even think that they would think that's a good movie, Elvie. I don't. I think that they would think Hellraiser is a good movie, and Hellraiser isn't a good movie. Hellraiser 2 is a good movie. Hellraiser 3 is a bad movie. Hellraiser 1 is a bad movie. Hellraiser 2 is the only one that's any kind of interesting.
Which one is that? Is that the one with the little box?
The Hellraiser is the one with the little box, yes.
Okay, see, I haven't even seen those movies, so yeah. I guess I'm not a horror fan.
Well, you are, but you have discerning tastes, and you also like a whole bunch of crap! Well, not really. You just go for anything with a ghost.
I'm a ghost. I want ghosts.
But here, you don't have ghosts, but you do have strangeness. Lots and lots of strangeness. I want to know this, and they never tell you, and this is great. This lends to the big mystery of it all. Why did they get kicked out of their plantation?
Yeah, okay, so...
These are pilgrim types.
Yeah, they're Puritans. Were they being too extremely Christian?
I don't know. They were being disruptive in some kind of way. So maybe they were being, like, too many finger wags.
Maybe they were being too pious.
Yeah.
But they're Puritans. How can you be too pious?
Well, whatever happened, they got banished.
Yeah.
So being banished, they have to tend their... And it's been a while, it seems, because they've already got a place built, a thatched roof.
Yeah.
And a farm, and they've already got corn, and their corn is blighted, so the land's kind of cursed or something. Is there a curse? And then a little baby gets taken from them some crazy way.
And that's in the trailer, so we can talk about that. I don't really want to spoil
this movie. No, you don't have to. But little baby gets taken away, and there is the big MacGuffin, I guess. That's the thing that gets the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
So then what? I don't necessarily understand what the movie's trying to tell us, like what the point is. Not saying, what's the point? But what is the point? The people who claim they're not evil...
Really are? Is everyone evil? Everyone has...
Or are swayed? There's a turning point. There's a really awesome goat in this movie, Black Phillip. And I've already started seeing people being like, Black Phillip for the win on Instagram and whatever. They love that Black Phillip. And I actually like Black Phillip. I love goats. I love goats.
Goats are the new cats. Well, that's what I've heard anyway. Goat videos are like...
Really catching on.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I like them. I always have. They're very strange. And
they
like
jump
them.
Around.
And they kick.
They kick and they make funny noises. Bah, bah,
bah, bah. It's really,
Goats.
I think my memory of the film is in black and white, by the way.
Well, it's very bleak. It's very, very bleak. It's like, it takes place before the winter, like winter is coming.
Yeah, so it's that autumn that's not pretty.
Yeah, it's like after peak foliage, everything's kind of dying, but it's not like...
There's no fun colors.
Yeah,
It's not a Highlights magazine cover.
No. Who's Goofus and who's Galliant?
What?
I don't know
who Goofus and Galliant are.
Oh my gosh, you never read Highlights? Like you just referenced Highlights. You never... Did you crack it open?
I cracked it open. I flipped through
the
book.
Goofus and
I looked
Galliant?
At the covers. No, I don't.
It's this little cartoon strip in each...
The Goofus and Galliant are the little twins.
Goofus is always, like, the dumb one who's getting into trouble, and he, like, goes against what he should be doing. He doesn't have a conscience. And Galliant is the one that's, like, he is the conscience. Like, oh, no, Goofus, you better...
Then the brother is, and then the rebellious they're all hitting puberty. Not all of them. Two of them are two of them are hitting puberty, and that's part of the gasoline of the film, really, is puberty. And it doesn't actually get into the exploitation realm of anything. There's a witch.
Who's the witch?
I'm not going to say. Actually, I don't know,
it
really.
It could be anybody until you find out who it actually is.
There's a part with a crow that's just...
awful?
Yeah. There's a lot of wood piles. Awesome. Sorry, that's just because I
you're just saying random things now.
Yeah, yeah. Things just note in the film. There's a lot of wood piles, and there's a scene where he's chopping wood in the rain that made me very nervous. I didn't chop wood in the rain and put an axe in my foot. It wasn't raining.
Ouch.
I just put an axe in my foot. And so he's doing that in the rain, and I'm like, that's even more danger. I know it's a movie, but my foot didn't care.
That's how he, like, takes out his frustration.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, you know, olden times.
Yeah.
Where you had to work no matter what.
Right.
You know, if it was raining, you still had to chop your wood. Like,
yeah.
These days, I was thinking about you, you know, when we had that fireplace in that house we used to live in. If it was raining, you'd be like, no, I'll chop wood tomorrow.
Or, well, no. I chopped wood sometimes in the rain, but not that often because of the danger factor.
Well, because you had to, though. If you had a choice, you'd be like, no, I'm not going to do that. But he had to do it.
But I definitely chopped wood in the snow. I did do that while it was snowing. But I had the option of going inside where I have insulation.
So, I mean, it's like crazy how much we take for granted.
That's the takeaway of this film. How much we take for granted.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
actually, this movie might actually have a lot to do with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely is a paranoid film. Brainwashing.
Maybe.
There are themes throughout the entire thing. Religious brainwashing, superstition. Superstition is a kind of brainwashing, I think, if you're raised in the environment. And it could be any culture. And they say, don't do this because of this. And if you do this, you have to say this sort of thing. And then that thing
and
will
then
be
it
cleared
away.
Up.
It goes cool. away. You're cool now.
Yeah, because you knocked over some salt. You gotta throw it over your shoulder!
I was thinking about the Crucible a lot during the movie, too. I mean, just the fanaticism for people just going crazy, like, just being...
Well, that's the satanic panic.
Well, you know, okay.
The piousness of the people, and they listen to a magistrate or somebody, and they obey that, and then they all jump on. It's a mob mentality.
Right, okay, so, like in the Crucible, and they're in the courthouse... And all the girls just start freaking out because they're saying that, you know, whoever is accused is a witch. And they're like, oh, I saw Goody What's-Her-Face sign the devil's book. And they all start flipping out.
Okay.
Like, parts in this movie reminded me of that.
Yeah, okay. The twins?
Yeah, but the twins are just freaking out. And they, like they're physically affected, but are they really? Because it's the same thing as in the Crucible, like they are. Those girls were physically affected by the witchery that's going on in the courtroom.
Right.
But they're not really. They're just making it up.
This movie makes me think about a lot of things. Were those kids affected by Black Phillip? Were they manipulated? Was it them just flipping out because they're just flipping out and they're like getting into the emotional spin of things?
Right. And they're children, so they don't really know any.
Well, I mean, that's they do and they don't.
Like they don't know how to overcome their emotions.
There's a certain kind of innocence to a mania a child might have, but in that, the whole being caught up in an emotional state reminds me of a different time. This time, when I was an adult, I went to a church that has a part one history and a part two history. The part one history is awesome, and then something happened, and part two history happened, and a bunch of crazies came in. And those crazies, they had a lot of, I wouldn't exactly call it superstitions, like the do this, and if you don't do this, something bad will happen, whatever. They were more into the emotional display of their, what they consider their faith. But that's like the worship band is playing a song, and a guy starts, you know that scene on The Simpsons when Homer Simpson is running around on the floor? Yes.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, he like that.
Yeah.
A dude was doing that, and I'm there with my friend Steve, and Steve is like freaking out, like in a way of like, do we need to call the cops or do we need to call a paramedic because this guy's having a seizure? And I just look at him, knowing that pretty soon I'm not ever going to go back to that church again. But this guy is just caught up in his physical, emotional state.
So they had this idea that it was like the Holy Spirit taking them over.
Yes.
And like they would babble and
well, and then they wouldn't babble.
But they didn't have
really. They wouldn't babble. They would just wig out.
Yeah. Okay.
They wouldn't do the babbling, gnashing of teeth, and talking in tongues thing. That's not. It's like Pentecostal or something. They would do like wig out, like freak out dances, white people dancing. Basically.
Elaine from Seinfeld.
Yeah, like really bad, frenetic, kinetic, spaz out dancing stuff. And it was always during worship stuff, worship music. And it wasn't ever during. Anyway, that's besides the point.
Well, I'm glad you didn't go back there.
That's besides the point. With the children here doing that, I think, as the movie told us, it was actually something supernatural and less emotional.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Because there's no reason why those kids would have really done that. They even confessed, we can't say our prayers. We don't know them. We don't remember them. And, yeah, it's a very strange scene. Too bad we're being super vague and just being bizarre here. Like, this is a very odd podcast because we just can't give away too many details.
Yeah. I was reading recently. I read a headline. I didn't actually read the article because, you know, who wants to do that? But it was talking about superstition and words. Something I had never thought about is, you know, they think that words cast spells. And that's why they call it spelling.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I thought was really interesting, and I probably should have read it, but, you know.
Yeah, you should have. Linguistics is a really fascinating subject.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, whoa, yeah, wow, that makes sense. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
Spelling, learning letters, writing your letters, having education to write means you can write spells.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That doesn't come here. She can't even write her name, she says.
Yeah.
That one girl. So, holy crap, is it strange. This movie's a dark, odd masterpiece. I did want to say this. Hammer horror movies. Hammer horror movies used to approach this subject very often. And then those movies would be incredibly boring.
The blood on Satan's claw.
Right. They're really boring and you just look for tits.
Cleavage. Maybe some nipple. But really, The Blood on Satan's Claw is a movie that approaches a subject. It's not at the same angle. It's very lame. I don't know if it's super lame. I did first see it on an Elvira episode, by the way.
Yeah.
And it always stuck with me. The title, Blood on Satan's Claw.
Well, yeah, it's a really cool title, and you made me watch it last year.
And it was so
boring.
I tried,
and I couldn't do it.
Yeah. It's very difficult to get through, but it's a Hammer movie. Now, what I was trying to say is, if Hammer put their name on this movie, I would be so happy, because finally they made a movie about witchcraft.
That's compelling.
That delivers.
Yeah.
But there's no Hammer involved in this.
Nope.
Sorry.
You should watch this movie, though. Really try to go see it in the theater. I don't know
if... The deal is...
If this podcast the reason is why,
going on. No, I probably not. But the reason why we promote some fresh movies like It Follows and stuff like this that come out, the reason why we want to see them in the theater is so that the studios or the distributors go, oh, there's a market for this to be seen by a wider audience, not just relegated to dusty shelf back in the day. And now it's DirecTV or any of those on-demand services where it's just like barely seen.
Your vote matters.
That's it. Your vote matters when it comes to movies. Not politics. Your vote doesn't really matter.
Your $11 matters.
When it comes to movies. Anyway, Teen Girls is why movies like Ouija succeed over movies that are different. And I know Ouija is written exactly for what it's done. They didn't write...
It served its purpose perfectly.
Stiles and Juliet didn't write the movie to have things cut out of it. They knew exactly what they were writing, and they succeeded in what they were writing. But it's still a PG-13, basically a PG movie for teen girls. And that is what PG-13 horror typically is. And so now you have rated R horror that is seen by some, I guess. It Follows was the breakout hit last year. This one is breaking out. Babadook was a breakout. So horror fans, get your heads out of your butts. Shave your necks.
read a book sometime.
Put on a different colored shirt. They don't always have to be black. We don't have to even call yourself a horror fan. Just like things or dislike things. Just
scared. Let's talk about actors real quick. I liked all the actors.
All the actors were good. The children were good. The little girl, the littlest girl, was really entertaining.
I like when children act like children.
Yeah, and well, it's not even just that she was acting like children. She had to speak in a way of the time, or at least as close as what we can get to of that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was oftentimes very difficult to understand what the adults are saying
because
it's Old English. So it's not even just the commoner Old English. It's like the pious Old English. The commoner Old English is a bit more easy to understand if you just talk to somebody on the street. I gather from other movies that I've seen. Because I have a time machine.
You know.
I have a phone booth.
You have a phone booth?
Yes. And two buddies named Bill.
Is it a
and,
Bill and Ted phone
yeah,
booth?
Yes, it is. Two buddies named Bill and Ted, and I have time traveled with them.
Are you actually Rufus?
No, I'm Doofus. Anyway, the point is, the language is very difficult for, I would imagine, for a child of the age of, like, six.
To get through it all, and, let alone be able to regurgitate.
And they sing songs in this way, and it's great. They have their little bickering that way.
Good job, kids.
It's really good, yeah. And the brother, the big brother to the twins, that kid has a scene, yeah.
It's perplexing because you don't really know what's happening because I was thinking that possibly someone else would speak through him.
Yeah, like a, some sort of possession sort of thing.
Yeah, but then it's kind of not.
It's not clear what happens at all.
It's just bizarre and good job, kid.
And yeah, wow. And the director, of course, directing everybody and making everything look the way it does. Directors don't do anything. It's always the performers. Directors. No, the director's really good. Everybody's really good in this.
I like how the father, I don't know if this is deliberate, but I like how the father looked a lot like what we perceive Jesus to look like.
Oh, I don't think that was deliberate.
Probably not, but all the paintings that you
see. When he takes off his shirt, he's got the six-pack, but it's like a working man six-pack. Like he's 45, doesn't have all the muscles in all the places, but he's got this ripped six-pack because he's a wood chopper guy.
He's a farmer. He's got his farm.
Yeah, it's a strange movie indeed, and it's one that I suggest. It
makes you feel weird.
And it is incredibly foreboding. At the beginning of the movie, I was kind of chuckling through certain scenes because there's the soundtrack is happening, and all it is just a slow zoom on the forest trees. And I'm like, it's a forest. Any other, like, you know, you could have an idyllic twiddly tweet bird song, and it would take a totally different tone. But you have these, like, this nerve-wracking violins and chorus as a slow zoom.
So you're saying it's a good thing they didn't use John Denver or something?
Well, they could have used, like, the good thing they didn't, like I expected them to. No, but I was just imagining making a movie and just playing around with different soundtracks. This is my head as I'm watching those scenes, and I was amused by it because it's just a shot of trees. There's nothing scary about it, but then you throw the music over
it. There's plenty of scary about trees.
Not when you're looking at them from afar. None. Nothing scary about trees.
Trees are 100% scary when your movie is called The Witch.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's our show, everybody.
We're gonna wrap it up now. Wrap it up in a twine bow.
Buy this Blu-ray, whatever. Nobody's paying us for this plug, but do it.
Support your independent horror movies.
Or good movies in general. Whatever. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
This podcast is brought to you by Ouch My Ego. Visit ouchmyego.com.
Inche Chibo.